This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Parts of the Red River Valley will see scattered showers throughout the week. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Vince Godin says the moisture is much needed with all the drought conditions and fire warnings going on.
Today seems like they're kind of splitting west and east of us, so they're getting a little bit of light rain to the west and a little bit of rain and snow mix to the east. Looks like Thursday is probably going to be our next good chance of rain. Looks like probably a good chunk of the upper Midwest is probably going to see some measurable rain, and could be like a quarter to half inch amounts, but kind of depends where you are. Still dry out there, I guess, if we're not getting too much rain, so I guess fire weather concerns are always an issue as far as burning. People need to be careful with flame and stuff like that.
Godin expects the wind and temperature to fluctuate throughout the week.
Yeah, it's kind of a spring pattern where you get the few warm days and then you get a strong cold front come through and it gets pretty windy, and then it's cools off for a little bit, then it goes back the other way. So spring is kind of a transition period where you get windy days and up and down as far as the temperatures go. Today's probably going to be our windiest day, and then high pressure comes over us tomorrow, so it can be a lot less windy. And then, yeah, it might go up and down a little bit for the rest of the week, but nothing too bad.
Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber said some beet farmers in the southeastern part of North Dakota started planting beets over the weekend.
Beets went in the ground Saturday. Some did. You know, it's obviously not fit everywhere. We obviously have this little rain storm that, you know, thankfully didn't amount to substantial rain, but nonetheless enough to kind of delay it another day or so. I think we're generally speaking all of, you know, to really be going gangbusters, I think we're all of 4 or 5 days out. You know, there will certainly be pockets that'll be more fit to go than other areas, you know, loamier ground.
And Weber says if the weather holds, this would be one of the earlier starts in the past 10 years.
We'd be looking at kind of a generally an earlier start over the last 10-year average if all of a sudden, you know, things shaped up. Generally speaking, yeah, we're all of, I think, 4, 5, 6 days here from really getting too excited, really excited, or a lot of activity. Obviously, again, there will be spot pockets that guys will be rolling in, you know, where the ground is maybe a little more loamy or something like that.
Recent snowfall brought much-needed moisture to parts of North Dakota, including the Cullom area where Bart Schott farms with his son. Though the snow delayed early planting efforts, Schott says it's a trade-off most farmers are happy to make.
Well, I would say we got probably 6 inches, maybe.
Okay.
And there, you know, east of us, they got some places got 10. But yeah, we were just happy with that. You know, it equaled about an inch of rain. So really, really welcome.
Schott said field conditions are not quite ready for the tractors to roll there.
No, we haven't been out. We thought about it before the snow, and then, you know, the snow delayed it. Now, I would say all the snow is gone. But we took a drive yesterday, my son and I, and looked at some fields, and we were surprised how wet they were in spots yet. So, you know, there'll be nothing going on for several days here, I don't think. You know, unless you've got a high field or something, but there, that snow really had a good effect on the soil moisture.
Before Congress went on its 2-week spring recess, House Republicans were able to pass the Senate budget resolution that clears the path for budget reconciliation. There is speculation lawmakers will use budget reconciliation to pass individual titles of the Farm Bill rather than one big comprehensive bill. Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member Amy Klobuchar met with Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman and Ag Appropriations Subcommittee Chair John Hoven to discuss this issue. Klobuchar said agriculture has been hit hard by tariffs, weather, and animal disease.
That's why the Farm Bill is so important, and the funding that's in reconciliation and this anticipation that we're going to need our SNAP and nutrition programs, which of course buy American goods, and feed people, a lot of people in rural America, when grocery prices are too high. That's got to be part of this too. So what we're all doing is pushing into that reconciliation bill to make sure there's enough so we can actually have a farm bill coming out of that, because that will set a lot of the baseline amounts.
Politico reports more than 10% of the USDA workforce accepted the early buyout. Klobuchar said that will have long-term consequences for farmers and ranchers.
You can just imagine the impact that that will have on research, the impact that will, especially when we're dealing with avian flu epidemic and other potential animal diseases, the impact that will have on just the expertise for giving farmers loans and for pushing out all kinds of grants and things like that. You need the people to have the expertise to get these things out there and answer questions for our farmers.
Klobuchar is on a 19-county tour focused on the rural economy.
Members and leadership from Minnesota Farm Bureau wrapped up a recent trip to Washington, D.C. President Dan Glessing emphasizing the urgency for Congress to pass an updated farm bill, warning that outdated support mechanisms are failing to meet farmers' needs in today's economy.
If we would have passed the farm bill with updated numbers to reflect the inflationary or the input pricing increases that we've seen in the, you know, in farming, would we have needed that economic assistance? I would tend to think not, because we have those safety nets for a reason. But if those numbers are so obsolete that they don't trigger, that's not not necessarily a farm bill that's effective.
Glessing also pointed to ongoing trade tensions and tariff uncertainty as a major concern for Minnesota farmers. With critical agreements like USMCA up for negotiations this year, Glessing said producers are bracing for a possible fallout.
StoneX Group Incorporated entering into a definitive agreement to acquire R.J. O'Brien, the oldest futures brokerage in the U.S., for approximately $900 million in equity value. The deal includes $625 million in cash, 3.5 million shares of StoneX common stock, and the assumption of up to $143 million in RJO debt. The acquisition significantly expands StoneX's position as a leading futures commission merchant. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota Senate Majority Leader Mark Johnson called this year's legislative session one for the books, citing a turbulent few months filled with tied chambers, walkouts, and even some criminal activity.
Even with all the volatility and what's been going on in committees and the rhetoric around it, it's actually been, it feels a little bit more like legislating again. The last 2 years, really, Democrats kind of shut the door and did the bills behind closed doors. But now there's a lot of going back and forth between the parties. And so it feels like we're getting consensus on bills. There's a lot more compromise, really what people imagine legislating to be.
With a May 19 deadline approaching, Johnson said there's hope lawmakers can avoid a special session and deliver a leaner bipartisan budget.
The last few years, we had a massive surplus in our coffers of the state that was all spent on government growth. And so now we're looking at about a $6 billion deficit in the out years. And so we have to start addressing that this year. So that's really what our task is how do we put together a budget addressing that deficit that's looming in a way that still prioritizes Minnesotans, but maybe cuts out a lot of that fluff, the waste, the fraud and abuse. Putting Minnesotans first is our big agenda. That's what we have to be doing this session. So that's really been the focus.
The Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, Minnesota Trout Unlimited, and the Minnesota Well Owners Organization are suing the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, claiming these state agencies have not done enough to protect ground and surface water in the karst and central sands region. Coalition of nine mainstream farm groups is seeking to intervene in this lawsuit to support MPCA and the Agriculture Department. Minnesota Pork Producers Association board member Maddie Hokanson said this issue is extremely important for farmers.
It impacts pig farms, it impacts poultry farms, it impacts crop farmers, it impacts dairy farms, it impacts everybody, regardless of size and regardless of style of farming. So all came together and said, we need to do something. If we're not on the forefront of it, and if we're not coming at it from the front end, then we're going to be playing defense instead. So this, in a sense, is kind of the way to make it a little bit more offense and put our story out there on the forefront and do exactly what we can to make sure that policy is continuing to be put in place based on sound science and not based on allegations made without anything to back it.
The other groups in the Farm Coalition represent corn, soybeans, wheat, dairy, beef, turkey, sugar beet trade associations, and Farm Bureau.
CME Group rolling out its new hard-bred spring wheat contracts this morning. North Star Commodity Chief Analyst Mark Schultz says be cautious.
You know, I'm not sure what the thought process is behind it of what they wanted to add. I think they're just looking for something a little bit different. But here still would be my view on that. Watch your volume and open interest, and right now it's virtually non-existent. So the fact that there's not many people trading it or little to nobody trading it, I would still advise people to stay away from that contract at the present time.
As of now, no trades and zero volume on the July contract.
Yeah, and that's we've seen that try to happen before when Minneapolis tried to put in an oats contract, and that lasted a short period of time, and there just wasn't enough volume, and eventually just faded away and blew away in the dust. And those are the ones you got to always be careful with. Got to find a buyer and a seller. So if you buy it and there's nobody else there to sell, you can't get out until you find somebody.
Grain markets trading lower today. Total Farm Marketing's Amanda Brill said grains being led lower by the wheat market.
It is a bit of a quiet day. Wheat's leading the way down. I think probably the main thing I've seen for why wheat is lower is some forecasts out to next week show a little bit more rain in the hard red winter wheat areas. So that's likely putting some pressure on wheat and corn. Soybeans have been flip-flopping, penny down, penny higher. But overall, last week we saw a lot of upward momentum across the board, and a lot of that was tied to tariff news and the equity market. So I think that, you know, we were up pretty sharply on Friday. It's not maybe that surprising that we've backed off a little bit today. Just things have gotten a little bit overbought.
You are listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The buzz around biologicals has never been louder, but that noise can make it difficult to figure out what biologicals are and how they fit into a cropping plan and how to use them. Novinus Senior Technical Agronomist John Traylor, Senior Technical Agronomist for Novinus, talks about how to fit biologicals into practices and other inputs growers have been using for years.
By looking at how to incorporate biologicals as part of an integrated fertility plan, growers can be successful. Rather than just thinking, hey, this is going to get me 2 or 5 bushels, understanding that agronomic piece is how is this technology going to impact the crop? When we could look at a technology like LTO, we can see how that's going to impact the mycorrhizae association with the crop and give that crop more access to nutrients and water. With inputs that they're currently using, we need to fit seamlessly as a company that delivers biologicals into the marketplace. We need to fit seamlessly within the cropping systems and the input systems that are out there. So whether that be delivering granular products seamlessly in furrow, I mean, it has to be really, really easy to use. And so, again, thinking about how it's delivered, it becomes really, really important.
Traylor says it's not too late to add biologicals to your 2025 plans.
Not at all. Depending on where they are with their cropping systems, if the seed is still yet to go down, there's opportunities to put biologicals in furrow, on seed, or even as a liquid in furrow. If the crop is already planted and establishing itself, we have foliar technology where we could deliver, again, a product like Ratchet, which is an LCO promoter technology, can go on foliar over the top. Again, with that in-season herbicide or in-season fungicide, makes it really, really seamless.
Checking quotes, May Wheat Minneapolis down 11 cents, 604 even. May Wheat Chicago down 8¾ to 547 even. KC May Wheat is down 13¾ to 554¼. May Corn down a nickel, 485¼. July down 3¾. December Corn down a penny and a half. May Soybeans down 1¼ to 1041½. July Soybeans down 2½ cents. November Soybeans up 3 cents. In Winnipeg, May canola is down $1.10 per metric ton, $6.59.60 Canadian. On the cattle side, June live cattle up $2.22 to $1.99.02. August up $2.02, $1.95.87. October live cattle up $1.45, $1.95.25. May feeders up $2.32 to $2.81.02. August $2.72 higher. October feeders up $2.40 to $2.84.20. May lean hogs up $1.45 at $88.02. June up $1.67. July up $1.85. This is the Red River Farm Network.